A guy with Down syndrome in his 20s went missing after his family lost sight of him on a major path. That was odd in and of itself because this guy never left his mom's side. She was absolutely convinced he'd been kidnapped. And unfortunately, a ranger who isn't with the park anymore insinuated that no one was going to kidnap someone, well, with that kind of disability. Not very tactful, to say the least. We wasted a lot of time trying to calm her down enough to get information about him, and then we put out an official missing persons call. Because of the urgency of the situation, him being mostly unable to function alone, we had local police come in and help us. We didn't find him the first night, which was heartbreaking. None of us wanted to think of him being alone out there. We assumed he'd just kept wandering and was staying ahead of us. We brought out helicopters the next day and they spotted him in a little canyon. I helped bring him back up, but he was in bad shape. And I think we all knew he wasn't gonna make it. He'd fallen and broken his spine and couldn't feel his lower half. He'd also broken both his legs, one at the femur, and he'd lost a lot of blood. He was confused and scared while he was alone, so he'd probably exacerbated the injuries by dragging himself and moving around. I know it sounds awful, but while I was riding in the copter with him, I asked him why he'd wandered off. I just wanted something to tell his mother, to let her know it wasn't her fault. Because he was fading fast, and I didn't think she'd get to ask him herself. He was crying, and he said something about how the little sad boy had wanted him to come play. He said the little boy wanted to trade so he could go home. Then he closed his eyes, and when he woke up again, he was in the canyon. I'm not sure that's exactly what he said, but it was what I thought the gist of it was. He just kept crying, asking where his mommy was, and I held his hand and tried my best to keep him calm. It was cold out there. He kept saying that. It was cold out there. My legs were frozen. It was cold out there. It's cold in me. He was getting even weaker, so he eventually stopped talking and he closed his eyes for a while. Then, when we were about 5 minutes from the hospital, he looked right at me with these big tears running down his face, and he said, "Mama won't see me no more. Love Mama. Wish she was here." And he closed his eyes and he just never woke up. It was horrible, and I don't like talking about it. That case was one of the first ones that really rattled me badly. Because of how badly it affected me, I reached out to a senior ranger who ended up helping me through it. As time went on and we got to know each other better, he ended up sharing one of his own stories with me. It was disturbing, but it helped to know that I wasn't the only one affected by things going on out there. He started his story. "I think this must have happened before you got here, because I think if it had happened while you were here, you'd have remembered it. I know it didn't end up on the news for some reason, but I think most people who've been here long enough know about it. The park sold off a portion of land to a logging company, and it was a really controversial thing. But it wasn't that large or old of a plot, and it was right after the recession, so we needed cash bad. Anyway, they were selling this plot of land, and we get a call that we need to get our supervisors out right away. I don't know why, but they ended up sending me and a few other guys along with the heads, I guess, for power in numbers to see what was up. We got there and all these guys are crowded around a tree that they've just cut down. They're all pissed off and freaking out, and the foreman comes over and says he wants to know what we think we're up to. What the hell y'all think this is? Some kind of sick joke? You've got a lot of fucking nerve pulling this shit. We bought this land fair and square. Well, we don't know what the hell he's talking about, so he brings us over to this fallen tree and points at it. He tells us that they cut it down and it was just like this, and they'll be damned if they put it there. The inside of the tree was all rotted and hollow in one spot, and when they'd cut it down, it had exposed that chamber. And inside of it was a hand. Like, a perfectly severed hand. And looks like it's actually fused with the inside of the tree. Well, now we think they're pulling a joke, so we tell them that we don't like being fucked with and we start to leave. But they tell us that they've already called the cops and they'll go right to the media if we don't stick around. Well, that of course gets the head's attention, so they stick around and talk to the police about it. Everyone is denying that they put the hand in there, and besides, how would anyone have ever done it? It's clearly a real hand, but it's not mummified or skeletal. It's brand new, probably not even a day old, and it is definitely fused with the wood. You can see that it's coming right out of it. The loggers insist that they didn't put it there. Somehow, this fresh human hand ended up fused to the inside of this living tree. The cops have them cut up that section of the tree into a movable chunk. Then they take the hand away, and the area is closed off. There was a pretty big investigation, but I know they didn't get any answers. Now it's become this legend, and as far as I know, we haven't sold any more property for logging. I mentioned to her that I was interested in hearing about any experiences she had with people completely disappearing. Her eyes light up, and she leans in close to me. "Wanna hear a real doozy?" she asks. She tells me about how, when she first started, there was a case that got a lot of attention in the media. A family had been out berry picking in an area of the forest very close to the entrance of the park. They had two little boys, both under the age of 5, and at some point during the day, one of them vanishes. There's an absolutely massive search and they find absolutely nothing. It's another one of those cases where it's like, the kid was never there in the first place. The dogs just sit down and don't pick up on anything. No trace of the kid is found. The search goes on for about 2 months, but is eventually called off. Fast forward to 6 months later. The family comes back to place flowers at a memorial that's been set up for the kid. They bring their other son. While they're placing the flowers, they lose sight of the kid for about 3 seconds. And in that span of time, he vanishes into thin air. Now, obviously, the parents are beyond devastated. It's awful enough to lose one child, but to lose two is beyond imagining. The search is huge, one of the largest in state history. There are about 300 volunteers combing every inch of this park looking for the kid. But again, there's no trace of him. The search goes on for about a week, with people looking miles from the part of the park he vanished from. And then, almost 2 weeks later, a volunteer about 15 miles from the designated search area radios in that he's found the kid. They assume that the kid was dead, but the volunteer says he's not only alive, but he's in good shape too. KD and her team go out to recover the kid, and when they get there, she can't believe that this is the same kid that's been missing. His clothes are clean, there's no dirt on him anywhere, and he doesn't appear traumatized. The volunteer says, he found the kid sitting on a log, playing with a little twig bundle that's bound together with some old rope. KD asks him where he's been, and who he was with for 2 weeks. And the kid tells her that he's been with the Fuzzy Man. Now, KD firmly believes in Bigfoot, so she gets all excited and asks what he means by fuzzy. Was he hairy? But the kid says no, he wasn't hairy. He was a fuzzy man, and he describes a man that's blurry, like when you close your eyes, but not all the way closed. He says the man came out of the trees and took the kid with him deep into the woods. The kid says he slept in a hollow tree, and the fuzzy man gave him berries to eat. KD asks if the man was mean, if he scared the kid. And the kid says, no, he wasn't scary, but I didn't like how he didn't have eyes. KD says they get the kid back to headquarters and a cop takes him into town to talk to him more about what happened. She's friends with the cop that talked to him and she said the kid described being kept in this tree by the fuzzy man and given berries whenever he was hungry. He was allowed to wander around in a very specific clearing, but when he tried to go further, the fuzzy man would get mad and yell real loud even though he didn't have a mouth. When the kid got scared at night, the fuzzy man made it go brighter and gave him the twig bundle. He said the fuzzy man was going to keep him, but he had to let him go because the kid wasn't the right kind. He either can't or won't elaborate more on that. The cops are just sort of left scratching their heads, and the search for his brother is renewed with no results. The kid has no idea where his brother might be, and they never find him.